This word comes to you from Mountain Life Church in McCall, Idaho, where God is bringing wholeness to people, families, and communities through His Word, His Spirit, and authentic, loving relationships. It is truly our heart that this message touches you and brings wholeness to your families.
Thank you for joining us. Before we jump in on this week's live audio, I want to take a few minutes to set up the sermon for this week. This week, we're picking up again in Philippians chapter 3. At verse 12, the Apostle Paul says that not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, last week we talked about this apprehending, where Paul says that he is laying hold of the very reason for which Christ apprehended him. And we shared that when someone is apprehended, you're not apprehended until you have surrendered to your captor, until you've given over. And last week we talked about being apprehended by Christ, and part of the apprehending process is us giving up, us conceding to Christ being Lord and Christ getting a hold of us. And that being the foundation to then getting a hold of Christ, the reason, the purpose for Christ getting a hold of our lives and changing us. And I want to pick up on that today and talk about this second verse of this passage, and that is letting go of what's behind. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, we talk often about being whole people, whole communities, whole families. And what does whole mean? And we often say mature. The Bible uses the term perfect and does not mean sinless perfection, but it means to be whole, to have everything that you need. Being apprehended of Christ, the reason why Jesus took hold of us is so that we can be whole. He took hold of us so that we may have everything that we need. He wants us to be mature. In fact, time and time again, Scripture refers to the maturing of the body, meaning us coming to a place where we are walking out the fullness of who God has intended us to be. Why did Jesus take a hold of us? Jesus took hold of us so that we could know God, find freedom, discover identity, and make a difference. We all would agree that knowing God is critical, and we would also agree that part of knowing God is discovering who God has created us to be. And unless we discover that, unless we realize who we are supposed to be in Him, we'll just be the old person or the old man with a new set of habits or a new set of rules or some new Christian activity on an old lifestyle. Greek word, epilanthenomai. Probably didn't pronounce that great, but it simply means to neglect. It means to no longer care for or given over to oblivion or to let it go. So when he says, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I let it go. I let go of the past, the things that would hold me back, the things that would draw me backwards. I let go of those things so that I can move forward. See, so many times we believe that we are to live a new life and go after all that God has for us, and yet so many believers, some even spend a lifetime being Christians, loving God, doing the best they can to live out the life that God has for them, but they don't stop to take time to really find freedom, or don't even know that freedom is available. In fact, so many times we'll get saved, we will understand that Jesus paid a price to forgive us of our past sin, and yet we'll continue to walk out a life tainted by our past, almost like looking through hazy colored glasses, based on hurts, wounds, unforgiveness, things that have injured us. The problem with that is that's not consistent with what God has intended for us, and Jesus died to take care of all of that. Now, Paul said that we are Christ's letters, his epistles, which means we're his story. And when we get saved, we all get saved with a story. But part of redemption isn't just chapter 2. Part of redemption is that God actually rewrites our present and he rewrites our past. With the price that Jesus paid on the cross, he rewrites what our past means to us. When we come to Christ, our past is our wounds, our failures, our sins, our abuses, the things that form and shape us, and oftentimes not in a positive way. But Jesus came to rewrite that so that our past doesn't have to be pain. Our past can be a promise. Our past can be our testimony. It can be the story, God's story in our lives of sometimes a horrible past or challenging or difficult or less than great can be rewritten into God's story, could be rewritten into the new life that he has for us. 2 Chronicles 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things," what things? "All things have become new." Now, the thing that we need to keep in mind is that we're a new creature. We're a new creation in Christ after the work of the cross is applied to our lives. But sometimes we just think that means new behavior. But new behavior requires something else. It requires a rewriting, a resetting of the very things that produce and create that behavior moving forward.
Sometimes in our humanity, our flesh and the enemy will want us to take comfort in holding on to a past thing. Well, this is my security blanket. Now see, I can justify being an angry person if I hold on to my rejection from the past. I can justify my poor behavior if I can justify it by something from my past. And see, so many times we walk around and we declare that we're redeemed and we declare that God has set me free and rewritten my past, and yet we'll put our hand over a part of a page. "You can't rewrite this one, Jesus, because this is my self-justification for my bad behavior. This is my self-justification for my addiction. Come on. This is my self-justification for being grouchy and grumpy and moody. This is my self-justification for holding people to arm's length, not joining a life group because I don't trust anybody. Come on, I'm just going to get your toes out. I'm coming. This is my justification for treating my wife poorly. This is my justification," fill in the blank. It's just one little thing. I don't know about you. I want my whole story to be his story. I want my whole story to be redeemed. I want all of my past to be settled. What are the things of our past? I'm just going to blow through our past sin, our iniquity, our failures. Well, let me throw an argument. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of some unrighteousness." All unrighteousness. All. Everybody say all. Everybody sing all. Oh, thank you very much. All unrighteousness. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us glory, victory through our Lord Christ Jesus. Come on. I'm not who I'm gonna be, but I'm certainly not who I used to be because it's getting rewritten. It's getting rewritten. And church, as much as we would say, "I'm a believer, I'm no longer a sinner," there is still some old sinful nature that tries to jump back on the new man. And listen, just as much as he forgave my 20 years ago, he forgave my 20 minutes ago. As long as I'm giving it for him to rewrite. How do I give it to him to rewrite? It's called repentance. It's called getting my hand off of that paragraph so I can get some red on it, so it can be rewritten It's our old man. It's our old lifestyle. It's our old, you know, I heard a quote from a coach a long time ago. The older we are, the older we get, the better we used to be. Sometimes our old man is our glory days. Sometimes our old man is our old behaviors, our old reactions, our old responses. You know, when I got saved, I was carrying a lot of reactions that came out of past rejections and past hurts. They came from an unredeemed lifestyle. Part of getting redeemed is letting even your reactions getting rewritten. And the way that your reactions get rewritten is by your paradigm be rewritten. God took me to a place about 9 years ago. I'd been a youth pastor for a decade. We were leading a lot of life groups, huge ministry. God was doing amazing things, great career, a lot of things going on. Here I am thinking I'm doing great, and God takes me to a place and reminds me or shows me that I have an unhealed thing from when I was seven. At that point, I must have been 30. I was 37. A little over 37. It was a while. And God showed me that thing. And that immediately, as soon as God brought that up, there was pain and hurt and it was stuff that was stuffed. And God showed me that I was wearing glasses that were tinting how I saw everything. I'd walk into a room, and some of you, listen, I want you to hear my voice, because some of you are going to get set free from this today. I would walk into a room, somebody who didn't even acknowledge me would laugh, and immediately I would assume they were laughing at me. Or I would say something to somebody, and if they didn't immediately respond positively, I would immediately assume it was negative. Immediate. See, rejection from my childhood was so deep that it caused me to have performance-based acceptance in my own life. I felt like God couldn't accept me unless I performed. No one would accept me unless I performed. My friends wouldn't be my friends unless I performed. And if there was anything negative, I would immediately bring that onto myself. God showed me and reached down and took those glasses off and went and rewrote how I saw my past. And in a moment, God rewrote how I saw myself. By the way, that was the year before God called me to full-time ministry. Or brought us into full-time ministry. We've been called. But God, listen, there are times where you're wanting a relationship to be right. You're wanting something that God has put in you, maybe a ministry. Maybe some of you, God has made you an incredible musician and worshiper, but fear of man has been a hazy colored glass you've been looking through your whole life. And when you sing, you immediately assume people are laughing at you even though they're laughing at the television or they're laughing at someone else or they're laughing at the pastor. Or see, did you catch that? It's part of our old man, and God wants to rewrite how we see ourselves. The new you doesn't look like the old you because it's not the old you. And part of the rewriting is rewriting those memories. Some of you were abused when you were young, or you're rejected when you're young. And that memory will always have some pain and some sting to it. But God wants to rewrite your view of that. That rather than that being your identity becomes Him taking you out of that. And Him healing you from that. And now you being a blessing to other people that have gone through that. But you can never minister to that issue until it's been rewritten in you. And God wants to do some rewriting. Our memories, our hurts, our wounds, our disappointments, our rejection, our betrayal, our bad experiences. Listen, I don't even have to rewind the tape that far for those. In some cases, I just got to go back to last week. Come on, this is just, we live in a fallen place, in a fallen space, and we're a fallen race, and we're human. I'm redeemed on the inside, and I still got some flesh on the outside. And sometimes the flesh gets fleshy. And sometimes we hurt each other, and we say things, and we do things. But part of living free is not going back. Woo, I was free, I got saved. And then somebody says something, oh, dang it, I was saved for a minute. Well, I had the joy of the Lord for a second. Then I talked to somebody. Then I looked at Facebook. And then I went to church. Oh, I loved God, and then I went to church. Come on, I'm just speaking it because you're thinking it. God wants to rewrite that. Letting go of the past, church. I had to let go of yesterday. I had to let him rewrite yesterday. I'm good today. I'm good. I got the joy of the Lord. I'm good. I had to get rewritten this morning. Tomorrow I'll have to get up and have some more rewriting done. The next day I'll have to get a little more red ink. And you know, there's probably some old stuff. And by the way, through this whole process over the last couple months, I've had some friendships strained. I've had some close relationships get challenged and pulled apart. And then one of my closest friends is now with the Lord and can't be here to hang out. And I was pretty sure he was existing in here just to make me feel better. And now he's gone. And so some of that's got to get a little bit rewritten. Letting go of what's behind and reaching forward. I can't reach forward until I let go of what's behind me. Jesus said, no one who sets their hand to the plow and looks back. But see, it's more than just looking back. I got to let go of it too. See, sometimes we go, well, I'm not looking back, but it's in your backpack. Or if you're an 80s person, it's in your fanny pack. You're still carrying it around with you. Yeah, no fanny packs. We're not doing that. That was for Billy. Just, he loves it when I make 80s references. Our memories and sometimes our roots have to be rewritten and let go. Isaiah 43, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Behold, I do a new thing. God wants to do a new thing in your memory. God wants to do a new thing in your attitude. God wants to do a new thing in the way that you relate to other people. God wants to do a new thing in the way you hear messages. Because see, sometimes when preaching comes, it hits our heart wrong because it went through a filter that messed it up. God wants to rewrite that filter. So when someone says, man, you're amazing. You look great today. Man, you did great leading and opening the service today. And there's a filter that goes, oh, no, I probably messed it up. I probably, God wants to rewrite that today. Rejection's going to get rewritten today. Fear is going to get rewritten today. Depression, rewritten today. Abuse, past abuse. You were abused, but you're not an abuser, and you're not identified by your abuse. You're identified by the one who redeemed you, and it's been rewritten. And now that abuse is your testimony of the glory of God rewriting your story. Yeah. Rewritten today in Jesus' name. Yeah. I do not remember former things. I don't remember it the way I remembered it when I happened. I remember it the way it was rewritten on the cross. The way Jesus rewrote it when he saved me, when he got me. How do I settle my past? I'm going to give it to you in three ways, and we're going to pray. You've got to receive prayer today if Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart. So we settle our past by, first of all, letting Jesus have it. See, when it comes to our sin, I've often taught three things. We renounce it, which means it doesn't belong to me. That behavior doesn't belong to me. Right. Perversion, pornography, lust, greed, pride, envy, whatever it is. Anger, rage, unforgiveness. It doesn't belong to me. I've got a pack full of stuff. It doesn't belong in my pack. I've got a rewritten page. None of those words belong on this page. None of those things belong. None of them belong in there. I need to renounce it. It has nothing to do with me. Sin, you have no place here. Fear, you've got no place with me. Francesca something or other, starts with a B, wrote a song about fear as the breakup song. She broke up with fear. And she says, you have no place here. And I imagine in that song going, you got no place with me. Fear, you got no place here. Sin, you got no place here. Rejection, you got no place here. Insecurity, you got no place here. Come on. It's renouncing, it's rejecting it, and it's repenting. You know what repenting means? We make it sound all, oh no, pastor's going to drag me up and tell everybody about my... That's not repentance. Repentance is, I was going this way, now I'm going this way, and I'm not looking back. And I'm not going back to that old pile of doo-doo stuff, whatever it was. Scripture says it's vomit, but listen, it's 2019, and it makes way more sense to go, don't go back to that pile of stuff. Let Jesus have it. James 5 says if we are hurting, if we have sin, if we have junk, that we should get prayer, pray for each other. But it says, confess your sins and you will be healed. Listen, confession isn't about going and sharing somebody something with somebody so they can hold something over your head. It's about the way that the church works is that I come and I say, Joe, I've got this black ink on this page and it needs to get written red. And Joe says, let me help you. Let me pray for you. Let me believe for you. Joe, that's not who you are. That black ink is not who you are. Let me help you see the red. Here, you got a post-it note over the red ink. Let's look at the red. That's what relationships, that's why we do life groups. That's why our life groups aren't just a Bible study. They're relationships that help make us whole. We let others help and then let God redeem it. When was the last time you took a hurt and you said, God, oh man, or maybe a past sin, or maybe condemnation? You know, even though Romans 8 says that there's now no condemnation, Christians, we pick up condemnation rocks. Walking along, hey, found some condemnation. Got it. Put it in my pocket. And now I'm carrying that thing that I did wrong. Now I'm carrying that thing that I failed. Now I'm carrying that divorce. Now I'm carrying that broken friendship. Now I'm carrying that failure. Now I'm carrying that sin. Now I'm carrying that whatever where I failed. And God just says, Samuel, come over here and empty the rocks out of your pockets. This has happened actually in real life, so take the rocks out of your pockets before you put your pants in the laundry. We need to get them clean, but you got to get the rocks out. Would you stand to your feet? What needs to be rewritten? So today we're going to pray, but we're not going to go over there. I'm kind of done over there. This is an altar. Scripture talks about weeping between porch and altar. Healing happens at the altar. Redemption happens at the altar. Repentance can happen when you walk away from the altar. This is where the renouncing and the rejection of that junk happens. Listen, you've got some black ink in your life. I want you to come forward and we're going to just pray that gets rewritten. Rejection, addiction, fear. Fear of man, fear of relationships, fear of trusting, fear of letting go, fear of trusting God. Oh, yeah. Okay. This is a specific person. There's a spirit of poverty on your life. And you are afraid. You are afraid to trust God with your finances. Your fear of lack is keeping you from having plenty. I'm not just talking about the tithe. I'm talking about poverty. There's a poverty spirit on you where you just can't be generous, you can't give, and it holds you back and it drives you crazy. And you're constantly worried and concerned about money. In fact, balancing your checkbook causes you stress. Something happened in your life to cause some black ink in that area. Jesus rewrote generosity. He rewrote provision. He is Jehovah Jireh, the provider. He's not Jehovah Jireh, the stealer, the con man, the taker, the coveter, the Scrooge. That's not God. And when God does ask for finances, he's asking because he knows that generosity rewrites with red ink. But in order to get there, that thing in you has to be rewritten, and you just need to come get prayer right now. You're struggling with an addiction. A-A-N-A, 12 steps, all the steps, they're all fine. But that addiction is not who you are. And somebody told you that that's who you would always be. In fact, there was a confession. Hi, my name is, and I am. No, here's your new confession. Hi, my name is, and I am a child of God. And I'm His. And I belong to Him. And I may have done that, and I may still struggle, but that's not who I am. I may still have anger. I may still have hard time forgiving some things. I still may road rage. I may still have whatever it is, but that's not who I am anymore. I've been rewritten. And let me pray for you, and I'm going to dismiss, but I just want to respect those who need prayer. If you haven't come forward, come forward. Holy Spirit's pulling on your heart. Okay, one more. Somebody recently pointed out something to you and highlighted it to you. And it's something that God doesn't want to remain in your thought process or in your life, and He wants to rewrite it. But out of shame and out of fear of judgment from people around you, particularly those who are believers, you stuffed it. You're holding on to it. You're afraid to bring it to the surface because you're afraid of the embarrassment of bringing it out. There is no condemnation. What's condemnation? Condemnation is embarrassment. And the enemy will hold you hostage for something that God doesn't hold you accountable for. Let me get someone over here to pray with Rick, please. Come on, Bob. Confess your sin to God. If you need to, confess it to somebody else, and you shall be healed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now. Come on, some of you didn't even come up, but there is a memory, there's a thought, there's a thing that's happened in your life, there's a failure that still looms over your head. And for some, it's keeping you from living free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus didn't break off chains for you to pick them back up and keep them on. Jesus, I pray right now that you would rewrite, that you would renew, that you would regenerate the story in Jesus' name. Past addiction, rewritten in Jesus' name. Redemption is now the portion in Jesus' name. Divorce, rewritten. The church told you that you could never be forgiven, that you could never this, that you could never that because of your past. That is, first of all, that is not true. That is not Bible. It is rewritten. Jesus died for it all. Man is not going to tell God what Jesus didn't die for, that included. Rewritten in Jesus' name. Some may feel like you failed as a parent because of where your kids are now. God wants to rewrite that. You did the best you could with what you had. But even better, you have new authority to rewrite who they are now, regardless of where they are. They're 35 years old and God can rewrite them the way He rewrote you. It's time to walk out of that shame and let God rewrite that story in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray, God, as we walk out of here today, as Christ's letters, we would walk out of here letting go of what's behind and pressing on and going after. Lord, I pray, Lord, every hand, every bit of my life that's holding on to something past that holds me from moving forward, Lord, I pray it would go, just be dropped, be cut off, be rejected today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Father, I just pray for grace and peace. And Lord, in our season of rejoicing and some mourning, and in this season of 21 days of prayer and pressing in, and the enemy is pressing as hard back on us as we're pressing in on you, God, I pray for supernatural grace and peace and fellowship and unity, Lord, that we would draw together and close to each other and to you and not pull away. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's word. If you would like to receive prayer or get in contact with any of our ministries or leaders, go ahead and call us at 208-634-3037. Have a great and blessed day.